Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We probably can say safely that the figgy pudding demanded by the carolers in We Wish You a Merry Christmas neither was made of figs, nor was it actually what we think of as pudding. Rather, the carolers seem to be requesting a traditional English plum or raisin Christmas dessert, perhaps like what we know of and call bread pudding. In this case, it was often dressed either with a similar butter cream sauce or with warm brandy set alight. So the carol and its dessert have no real connection to the fig trees that we heard about in tonight's readings, just as the Christmas tree is not one of the Bible's trees that we've considered in our second midweek Advent sermon series themed Living Among the Bible's Trees. Nevertheless, tonight we conclude that series by considering fig trees. In the readings we heard, both the divinely inspired St. Luke's unique report of Jesus' earlier parable that used a fig tree, and St. Mark's report of Jesus' later experience with a fig tree. In the first reading, the parable uses the fig tree to illustrate that the time for repentance, that considering tragedy should prompt. And in the second reading, Jesus, we might say, dramatically enacts a parable, a living parable, or takes prophetic action related to the judgment that comes when the time for repentance is over. And in that case, the repentance and judgment seem to relate specifically to God's people being full of activity, but nevertheless unfruitful. People sometimes have a hard time with Jesus' experience with the fig tree on the road from Bethany to Jerusalem. Some say the miracle is unworthy of the Lord, or that an innocent tree was unjustly the target of his wrath. And yet Jesus is the creator in human flesh, with the right to do with his creation as he sees fit. And that particular tree by the road, as it was, may not have been anyone in particular's tree. What is more, with the leaves, there should have been early figs, indicators of the later figs to come. Apparently, a tree without figs early on also will not have figs later. And the Old Testament is full of references to figs in related figures of speech. For example, through Hosea, the Lord says that he saw the people's forefathers like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season. And yet, as he says through Jeremiah, when the Lord would gather the people, there were no figs on the fig tree. Even its leaves were withered, and what he had given them had passed away from them, as the figs and other fruit were taken away from the Egyptians and Canaanites in tonight's additional psalm. Are we, like the people, the unfruitful people, God addressed through Hosea and Jeremiah? And like the Jews of Jesus' day, claiming to be religious, but without any fruits of faith? Certainly we are like them according to our sinful nature, but God calls and enables us to bear fruit. Do we bear fruit as we should? If not, apart from repentance, we deserve the same kind of judgment they deserved. Like the fig tree on the road from Bethany to Jerusalem was that the next time that the disciples saw it, God's righteous wrath could totally dry us up from or to our very roots because we do not listen to him as we should. We face temporal consequences, including death and eternal torment in hell, if we do not first turn away from our sin, trust God to forgive our sin, and want to do better than to keep on sinning. Although our time for our self-examination and reflection of repentance will come to an end one way or another, yet in this Advent season, today, right now, God is enabling and giving us every opportunity to produce fruits in keeping with repentance. Tonight's additional psalm celebrated God's delivering his people from slavery in Egypt, which pointed forward to his delivering his people both from exile in Babylon and, most importantly for us, from our slavery to sin and its eternal punishment. After his three-year ministry, Jesus took upon himself the punishment that we deserve, and he experienced that punishment on the cross for us in our place. Out of his great love for us, Jesus lived the perfect life that we fail to live, and he paid the penalty for our failure to live it. When we repent, then God forgives our sin, our sinful natures, our failures to bear fruit as we should, and all our other sin, whatever our sin might be. God forgives it all by grace for the sake of Jesus' death on the cross through faith. As we know from tonight's second reading and related passages, the largest promise applies even to the smallest faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have the free forgiveness of sins, what might otherwise seem absurd or impossible. And we have that free forgiveness of sins in what some might regard as absurd or impossible ways. Through the means of congregations today, God calls pastors to serve him by serving his people, as he once directly called the prophet Amos, who had been a dresser of sycamore fig trees. Such workers in the vineyard dig around the trees and put manure on it, as it were, and wait another year before cutting down the unfruitful trees. Such workers in the vineyard read and proclaim God's word to all of those who are gathered in the house that has been cleansed. And as appropriate, they apply that word to individuals in holy baptism, individual holy absolution, and in the sacrament of the altar, where bread is Christ's body given for us and wine is Christ's blood shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. In all of those ways, God brings forth from us fruit in keeping with repentance, according to our various callings in life. As such good figs, the Lord plants us by giving us a heart to know that he is the Lord. And so we are his people and he is our God, as we return to him with our whole hearts. Carl and Gail often repeatedly bless people in the congregation with their literal good figs from the trees on their land. I think there's even someone's bag of frozen ones in the freezer in the small kitchen. But the repentance-produced figurative good figs, if you will pardon the play on words, are even more wide-ranging. The second reading, the closest the divinely inspired St. Mark comes to the Lord's Prayer, might have us think especially of our forgiving our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that our Father who is in heaven may forgive us our trespasses. All such prayer that follows and is in keeping with our powerful God's will and nature is answered. We also serve God and one another through our service to the congregation, whether as council members, elders, or other volunteers. And tonight's office hymn by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther referred to our praising God's worth in all good works increasing. And the hymn connected our good works with the land itself's bringing forth plenteous fruit. Whether or not the literal fig trees should blossom, however else we might be afflicted, yet we rejoice in the Lord and take joy in the God of our salvation. Again this Advent, we have reflected on living among the Bible's trees, not only the fig trees tonight, but also Jesse's tree last week and the great trees of Mamre and Machpelah the week before. In each case, God has called and enabled us to repent of our sin and freely forgiven our sins for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. With such repentance, we live each day in God's forgiveness of sins, forgiving one another, for we have learned another lesson from the fig trees, to see the signs and to know that our Lord's coming could happen at any time. By his grace, we are prepared for and watching for it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.